witches, and welcome to Witch Space. I'm Gemini.
And I'm Scorpio. And for today's book, we've got an oldie but a goodie. We're going back in time. So talk about a witch in time. This witch is a 1968 witch.
I know.
So it's called Diary of a Witch by Sybil Leek. So I'm hoping that people know who she is or you've heard of her. She was born in England. She claimed to be a descendant of this witch called Molly Lee, who had been accused of being a witch during the witch hunts. What else? She spent time with the New Forest Gypsies. She was on the news a lot. She moved to America, became an astrologer. What?
Why would people know who Sybil Leek is?
So I feel like, so her books have been out of print for a while, and getting a copy of her book is not hard. You can go online. I think you just have to like look around so you get like a decent price. Mm-hmm. Why should people know? I don't know. I feel like she's somebody like Gardner. Like if you know who Gardner is, you should know who Sybil Leek was. You know, I think she fits with that whole group of people.
Mm-hmm. I ask because you're giving her biography, and I'm sort of like, I think maybe we talked about her in passing in the first year, but I didn't know who she was prior to this book.
She wrote 22 books. This is my shtick, and I have to do it. But here's the thing.
Do your shtick.
Here's the thing that I really like, okay? I like the fact, I mean, some people loved her, some people hated her. She was called a fraud, all this other stuff. What I like about her is she disapproved of nudity in rituals.
Hell yeah, girl.
She was also against drugs, and she was also in contrast with other witches, as she said she believed in hexing, which again, you have to think about the time. 1968, yeah. So she was kind of like...
Nobody can see my face, I'm fist pumping.
Yeah, so she was kind of like ahead of her time. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's it. I just wanted to, because sometimes when we do the biographies, it's like, well, yeah, this book came out in like 2022. We need to like give you a little bit of background, but like this is a modern person. With Sybil Leek, it's sort of like, yeah, she's an old guard. We almost should have talked about her in year one, but like I didn't know who she was, which I think made reading this book very different for me probably than it was for you.
Yeah. So I've wanted to get a hold of her books for a while, and I did. I have that book, the book that we're going to talk about, and a book called The Complete Art of Witchcraft, which honestly I haven't even cracked except to look at the photographs that are in there. You know, we'll do this at another time if people are interested. So what do I like about her? What I like about her is you've watched Bewitched, right? The old TV show?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, do you remember Aunt Clara? And this is terrible. Maybe people are going to be upset that I say this. But Sybil Leek reminds me of a mix between Aunt Clara and Andora. And what I mean by that is you have a woman who, I mean, 1968, women still weren't where they would end up, like, yeah, even a decade later. And then she just had this like way about her, you know, like I don't know if you felt that in the writing, when she's like, this is who I am. I give zero fucks if you don't like it. This is the way things should be. You don't like it? Let me tell you what I think. And I really like, but in a really nice, very British way, right? Very polite, but she is who she is. Why do I say Aunt Clara? Because people are like, well, isn't she? First of all, I don't think of Aunt Clara as like bumbling around. I think of Aunt Clara as an artist. You know how like artists aren't necessarily, they don't think in a linear way. They're not right math or science brain. They're kind of like, woo. And I say this as somebody who in my day job.
Like eccentric.
Yes. I have a lot of eccentrics in the club that I do after school because they're all writers and artists.
I don't think Sybil Leek would be mad if you're like, oh, she's eccentric. Like, I think you read the book and she's like, yes, I'm eccentric.
Yeah. So that's what I mean by like Aunt Clara. There's like a little bit of, ah, darling, it's whatever. Like, I'm just like, you know, doing my own thing. Whereas I see Andora as more like fixed and like serious. And I don't see her that way. But I definitely see that strength that Andora has of just, this is who I am, accept it or not.
Yeah.
So why did we decide to do A Diary of a Witch versus The Complete Art of Witchcraft? I think because when I think of this other book, right, it says here in the back that it's got like got anecdotes, information. It's got history. It might be good, but I kind of feel like we've moved so far away from the old guard that I thought, do we really want a book on witchcraft? I thought it would be more interesting to discuss a diary, just like we did with Diana Hellmuth, right? When her whole year and a day, I thought, well, what would it be like if we saw an old guard witch, her diary? What would she have to say to us? And I thought that'd be more fun for us to look at.
I agree with you completely. And I love that. So here's the thing. When we plan these things out, sometimes I forget what we talk about. So I'm just like reading these books being like, I wonder what Scorpio's going to say. It's like, I don't remember why we picked it. I'm reading it and I'm going to talk about it. And I love that you bring that up because I really do think that like that's the thing that stuck out to me. Like almost, and obviously we're going to talk about what happened in the book, but almost like more than her stories, it was the fact that I was getting to read her stories.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like it's not necessarily that I felt that any particular story resonated with me. And I will talk a little bit about like how I feel about Sybil Leek's diary, but it's so freaking cool. It's so freaking cool to just like read a memoir of a witch about being a witch. And it's sort of like, maybe there should be more of these.
Mm.
Right? We get a lot of witch books published every year, and we're going to keep reading them and talking about them, but it's also sort of like, how many witch books can you really, like, how many witch books are we really going to publish? Like, do we have to have the same conversation about Wicca in a new book in 2024?
Yes.
Like, yes, but also, how much more powerful is it to see the lived experience of the witch who's practicing it? And you're right. Like, yes, we do have to have a lot of conversations about Wicca. But also, if you're like, I want to write a book, but I don't want to write a witch book about how to do witchcraft, just tell me about your life. I would love to read this narrative. I'd love to read yours. I was reading this. I was like, oh my God, I think Scorpio should write one of these. Diary of a Witch, Scorpio. I think that'd be sick. But I just want to hear more real life, you know?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I feel the same way. Because
you also feel that you should write a memoir?
No, I mean that we should be
because
we'll see. If anybody's interested, any publishers out there, I'll consider it.
Please message us. Please bully Scorpio into writing, like, Diary of a Witch 2.
Please. I don't even think it would be that interesting. And I will tell you this. It would mean I have to cut off my nails. So if you're going to reach out to me, I can cut off my nails.
Put a big advance.
Yeah. I have been thinking about cutting off my claws.
I miss having claws so much, but it's just not, it doesn't work anymore. I have passed this stage in my life, and like, I'm sure I'll come back around to it, but like with a 2-year-old, I just can't.
Yeah. It gets to a point where it starts to get annoying, you know, and then you look at them and you go, well, no, but I do like them, but it's more and more, it's like, why am I doing this to myself? This is actually annoying me. And
I feel that
where I get my nails done, she doesn't listen to this, where I get my nails done, she's rearranged the tables.
Oh, no.
So now I'm going to be like next to somebody. Listen, half of the reason I like to get my nails done is for the tea. So if you're going to have people like right next to you and I'm not going to be able to talk, that's going to be kind of boring.
Yeah.
Plus the other thing is like the people who come to the salon and they want to talk to me. I was getting a pedicure and I had two women talking to me and I'm like, why? Why are you doing this?
It's the Cancer moon.
Anyway, so I'm debating whether I'm going to get another pedicure ever again. People just like to talk to me. But speaking of talking, we need a quote. And guess what? I have no idea what the quote should be.
I agree with you, though, because it's really hard to... Like, I feel like she said so many things in this book where I was like, oh, I want to write that down. But it's also like... it's not a witch book about how to do witchcraft. So I, you know, the quotes are like meaningful to me, but are they meaningful to everybody? I don't know.
I don't know either. So I'm going to jump with the one that I thought was kind of cute.
Yes.
And it's right in chapter one, 20th Century Witch is the name of that chapter. And she says, in the U.S., witchcraft is still either linked to an incident in Salem or mixed up with Hollywood versions. Both are as accurate as thinking Gomer Pyle represents the typical American serviceman. And for people who've never seen Gomer Pyle, have you seen it? It is still on TV. Okay, I think I'm the only weirdo who watches all these old TV shows.
I don't have time to watch TV anymore.
Okay, so it's still on every once in a while. So this show is from 1964. So neither one of us were alive, but I like it. It's about...
Well, you're like 400, so...
That's right. I was alive.
You were alive.
I was
alive. Don't lie to the people.
So do you know the Andy Griffith show, Mayberry?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Gomer Pyle was on the Andy Griffith show. He's like...
Is he an actor or is this the name of a show?
That's the name of the character, Gomer Pyle.
Okay.
So
okay,
he was on the Andy Griffith show. And I want to say he worked in a garage. Don't quote me. I don't remember.
I'm going to trust you.
But then he enlisted in the Marines. So now it's a comedy. So what makes it funny is that the sergeant, I don't remember the name of the guy who plays the sergeant, very much a Marine. I've had a lot of friends in my life that have been Marines, and they're all kind of like the same kind of kooky, lot of fun, you know, type of guy. And then you have Gomer Pyle, who comes from Mayberry. And he's kind of got this like, golly, Sarge kind of thing. Oh. Okay. He's adorable. The actor was named Jim Nabors. He passed away, I think. But he had this really deep singing voice. Like, I remember seeing him one time interviewed, and I was like, where's that voice coming from? Because the voice he put on for this character was so different. But anyway, so again, that's who Gomer Pyle is. If you have any of those shows, those channels that has all the old shows on it, look for it, you know, so you could see him, because it'll give you a giggle. I don't know that it really like holds up the way like Bewitched or the Addams Family holds up, but you know, I find a lot of charm in these old ones. I think I was telling you, I finally saw Petticoat Junction, which my mother had talked about.
It's a show that I've heard of.
Yes. And finally one day, I don't know why I was up. It was like 2 a.m. That's when these stupid shows come on. And I was like,
every time,
what is this? And I put up the sound and I'm like, this is Petticoat Junction. I've never been so happy to find something.
Not to like date myself, but I used to watch these shows on, it was like Nick at Night.
Yes.
It was like whatever came on after Nickelodeon would be like Gilligan's Island and like MASH and all that stuff. So that's when I would watch the old shows.
But there are a bunch of channels like that now. Like I remember there was a time when I think it was just Nickelodeon. I want to say there was one other channel that used to do it. But now it's like MeTV has old TV shows and I don't know the names of them, but like I've gone through and gone, this looks like it has possibilities. And it's like, yeah, it'll have all these different old TV shows. So there's a lot of those now. I don't know.
Jumping back to your quote, I do think it's funny that she wrote that. And I think it still holds true today in 2024.
And that's why I wanted to read it out loud, because it is true. God, everyone talks about witchcraft in Salem. Meanwhile, no witches were harmed in the Salem witch trials.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So I think it was really, I thought it was really cool that she picked up on that, considering that Salem was not what Salem is now.
Yeah.
You know, if she saw that now, she'd be like, what is going on with Salem?
Yeah. She would say that sentence, but then put an exclamation point at the end of it instead of a period.
Yeah. Especially around Halloween when people are dressing up in costume, like October 5th, because it's Salem. Like, it's not Halloween Town. Like, what? But anyway.
I mean, it is Halloween Town.
Yeah.
It's the closest you're going to get to Halloween Town in real life.
Anyway.
That's a good ass movie. Sorry.
What? Go. Halloween Town?
Yeah.
So she refers to Wicca as the old religion. So you have to kind of get past that if you're going to read this, because she does it more than once.
Yeah.
She also mentions black magic. But she doesn't tell us what black magic is, which to me, if you're going to say, well, you know, I'm somebody who hexes, but there's black magic over there. So I kind of want, what do you, Sybil Leek, think black magic is and how is it different from hexing, which I think we all have our own versions of it. But if it's your diary, I want to know what you in 1968 thought it was.
Okay, we talked about it. I want to jump right in because this girl had a crush on Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, she did.
She did. She had a crush. She doesn't say it in the book, but she fully has a crush. Her dad brings him to the house and he's teaching her shit. And she goes to do stuff with him and everything. She has a crush on him.
Yeah.
She was a child, not literally a child. She's like a teenage girl meeting Aleister fucking Crowley. I mean, like, oh my God, he was so nice. All of those mean things they say, I don't know what they're talking about. Like, what?
Yeah, and that he supposedly, like, told her, like, you are going to pick up where I left off.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, thank goodness she didn't. But she did go to one of his masses or ceremonies.
Yes, and she was like, this is gross.
This is not for me. But she said to comment on it, I felt that I had to go make my own decisions, you know, see it for myself. And I always tell people that before you start bashing something, check it out or check something about it out, you know?
Yeah, before you start bashing something, you should visit a place and then be forcibly kicked out of that place by the general energy of that place. And then you can be like, ah, never mind. I don't ever want to do that again.
That only happened to us once.
And we're not going to talk about it any further.
Actually, it happened to me in a store. And yeah, it happened to me in a store in Manhattan. And I'm not going to say the name of the store.
Oh, I feel like you told me
this. And I'm not going to. Should I tell the story, though?
Yes.
Okay. So a friend of mine, and it's so funny because I almost said Scorpio too, but I didn't know her then. But this friend gave the same vibe this Scorpio too has. And she wanted a candle. Now, I had heard that the store had changed hands and there was something kind of like wrong with the store. So I'm like, whatever, you're buying a candle. I'll just go browse. And it was pretty big. And I went down one aisle and I see that somebody's like looking at me and I'm like, all right. So I go another aisle. There's another person that works there is looking at me and they're like, I don't think we have anything here for you. I said, no shit. And I walked out. I told my friend, I'll wait for you outside. But
gross.
Yeah. So when people tell me, oh no, that was a good place. No, it wasn't. It was not a good place. It was a shitty place. And when it closed, I was happy. All those people were out of a job. That's a terrible thing to say.
No, it's not. Fuck those people. Anyway, I don't know if you have noticed, because this episode drops on eclipse morning. You guys, this drops. Oh, wow. And then that afternoon is the eclipse. Have you noticed the bad vibes from the last full moon to like now that's going up to the eclipse?
Yeah, plus the earthquake that we had in New York.
Oh my God. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Listen.
Because I didn't feel it.
I was not about to get glasses, so I'm not looking at the eclipse. I don't care.
I have Mr. Gemini got glasses, but also like in the astrology that I do, eclipses are bad. Eclipses are not good. So I'm like not
really
looking forward to it. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Scorpio 2 was asking me. They were like, what does Gemini say about this? I'm like, I'll let you know. I'm going to be recording with her.
So this is great because Sybil Leek also talks about astrology. Yes. And it's one of the ways in the diary that she like relates to other girls, which I want to talk about in a minute. But first, I want to talk about the eclipse. So I guess there's a thing going on TikTok because I keep seeing it on Instagram about how like, oh, TikTok is saying that eclipse energy is chaotic, but you should do whatever you want. Like you, and listen, if you don't believe that the eclipse, like if you don't ascribe to that kind of astrology, that's totally fine. I personally, in Hellenistic astrology, do not fuck with eclipse energy. I wouldn't do any magic. I wouldn't do any manifestation. I would just be as chill and calm as humanly possible. Right? Like in Hellenistic astrology, that's a time period when they don't have the science to explain why eclipses are happening. This is like a powerfully negative thing. The world is going dark, right? That's not good pretty much for most of history until we get electricity. So it's supposed to be a negative portent. And like we literally, the East Coast literally just had a little, I was about to say hurricane, a little earthquake. I was going to say hurricane because when the fuck do we get earthquakes? Never.
We have. New York is on a fault.
Yeah, but like not regularly.
No.
We're not real earthquake people.
Last earthquake that I felt, I was in Brooklyn.
Which is like...
like early 2000s.
That's like 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, that's... time is a construct. That's insane that that's like 20 years ago. Okay. So anyway, eclipses are bad. I wouldn't personally do anything. But if you're listening and you're like, no, I think eclipse energy is like a portal into something greater. Awesome. I love that for you. We all do our own separate stuff. Right? So like, if you're listening and you don't agree with me, don't worry about it.
I am closing the blinds before I leave for work. I am coming out. I am going to be inside. There's nothing.
So to make this about Sibelik again, I want to talk about her childhood. And as much as I want to talk about astrology first, I can't. What I have to talk about first is how I had a lot of feelings with regard to Sibelik telling her literal life story. Because she says stuff, and my first thought in the book is like, there's no way that happened. And I know that that's me being like a little bit judgmental. So like, I'm calling myself out there, right? Like, she's writing her diary. It's, even if it's like exaggerated for a memoir, it's what happened. But like, her grandmother's teaching her magic. She doesn't go to school until she's 12. She meets H.G. Wells and Aleister Crowley because her dad is so cool. He teaches her about yoga. She's out here like talking to fairies and teaching all the teenage girls astrology. And she's so smart that she only has to go to school for 3 years. And then she goes and apprentices with her grandma. Like, it's all just too much.
It's Forrest Gump
for me.
It's Forrest Gump. It gives me Forrest Gump vibes. Like, all these things are happening, and I'm like, "What? This would be a great movie. Wait, I saw this movie. Wasn't it called Forrest Gump?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, on the one hand, I'm reading it, and I'm like, this is so fucking cool. This is, I wish this was my life. And on the other hand, I'm like, I understand why, especially as, like, a modern practitioner, you would read this and be upset and be frustrated.
Yeah.
Because I think we are sold this image of the old guard living a life exactly like Sibelik. Her whole family was magic. She was so deeply connected. Everything was intuitive and natural to her. And it's just been like that her whole life. And maybe it has. Like, truly no shade. Her life sounds sick as hell. I wish. But that's not what most of us are going to experience. And I think that's another reason why, as I read it, I was like, I want more diaries. I want more stories of witches telling their lives. Because, like, my life doesn't look like that. And I don't think a lot of the lives of people I know look like that. And so on the one hand, I'm like, this is very cool and this is a great historical artifact. And on the other hand, I'm like, there's no way.
I think that on the one hand, when she says, well, everybody points to this and this and witchcraft, I think that the old guard also set up myths like this. You know, there's another quote where she says, most of the leading witches in the present era have a family tradition of witchcraft behind them. And to me, I feel like, isn't that what they all said?
Yeah.
Right? They all have this lineage. And I think we've said this on the podcast before. If witches believe in reincarnation, then does your physical family history matter as much? For all you know, you were Molly Lee.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know. Yeah. She talks about rules. She talks about beliefs. She talks about how magic should be joyous. And I liked what she said about how they do it. By developing our minds to a point where we see or feel no barriers of time and space. That's all you need. So you know what? Just slap that on the next sit and spell on a Sunday and just say, I don't have to write another one. This is all you need.
Hey guys, happy sit and spell. You'll hear this afterwards. Happy April 7th, sit and spell. It's go on a week-long break from your job so that you don't know how time works. And then you will achieve the state that Sibelik says that you need to achieve by simply not knowing how time and space works.
By the way, here's something that freaked me out. Here's another quote. Most witches know the time of their death and so have ample time to make arrangements. Do you know the time and date of your death? Because I don't.
No, and I don't want to. You know what it is? You know, it's like a no true Scotsman fallacy. It's like the old guard has decided these are what witches are, and if you're not that, then you're not a witch. And and at reading this, I don't feel condescended to necessarily by Sybil. Like, it's a diary, and when you read it, if you read it, it really does just feel like her chatting with you. But, like, yeah, girl, what? Most witches know when they're gonna die? Hard pass. Hard fucking pass. What? No way.
But again, why do I think it is important to read this stuff? Come on, you're not curious. You've never wondered why certain people are so, like, steady in how they believe and what they think. Because it's been kind of programmed into the craft or people working in the craft. And for so long, it's been Wicca. So all these Wiccans got to say, well, this is what this is. So,
you know what? And it's tough because it's almost hard. And I think this is something that, I don't know if you experience it, but it's something that I experience being like a hard polytheist, being like primarily Hellenic, not ascribing to like the Wiccan version of witchcraft. It's hard to hold on to your beliefs because, like, when I'm posting a sit and spell or when we're reading books, like, I'm always trying to read it from the perspective of myself, but also from the perspective of like the witchcraft community and like how could this be useful to people and blah blah blah. But like, the way that I believe in reincarnation is not the way that like a Wiccan or even like a neo-Wiccan witch would believe in it.
Or an Espiritista.
The way that I believe in a lot of... Right. So it's like... It's really cool to read, but then everybody kind of regurgitates it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we read these books and I'm like, well, these are really useful and you should read them and we should, like, I want people who are listening to pick them up. But then it's like, some of this is not ever going to be for me.
I think even if you were, and I can't speak for Wiccans, but I think even if you were Wiccan now, is this for you? It's so old. I mean, maybe people really do just take this and it's all 100% what she says, but I don't know. You don't want to talk about the owl?
Yes, I want to talk about the owl. Oh my fucking God. Thank you for reminding me about the owl.
So Sybil Leek got sick when she was young.
With diphtheria.
Yeah. So her grandmother was going to cure her. And to cure her, she had to kill an owl.
She had this beloved pet owl, which, first of all, no, you didn't. Yes, you did. I'm sorry, Sybil Leek. You're so cool. But, like, this is the problem, is I'm jealous. Like, are you kidding me? You had a pet fucking owl?
See, I'm not jealous because I'm having a hard time believing all of this happened to you. And if it did, okay, cool, I guess. But I don't know that we should keep owls as pets.
The vibe that I get from, especially the beginning of the book, is that she, like, grew up in the wilds of England, which I don't think is true. Like, I think she grew up around people. But the way she describes it is very much like, yeah, I'm out in the woods, I got a pet owl, you know, I'm living in the woods with my family. But my dad knows H.G. Wells and Aleister Crowley, so clearly, like, we're not. And they're well-to-do, because she talks about, like, when she talks about, so when she moves near the Romani, she's living with a rich landowner who, like, sells horses and stuff while her parents are waiting to buy a house. Like, she's not... She's going off and, like, I'm joining the Romani and I'm learning all of their tricks and they call me the lady. But, like, you're staying at some rich dude's house and you're just, like, LARPing as Romani.
Yeah.
It's very Walden. Her diary is very Walden.
Yeah. So what else can we say about it? I feel like we're...
Oh, I do.
Like, we're trashing it, kind of. And that's not how I felt about the book. Like, I enjoyed reading it.
It's... So, I liked especially the chapter about the Romani, because I feel like that's when I started getting, like, magical stuff started being dropped in. Mm-hmm. So, like, she's talking about, like, nettle tea and raspberry leaf tea and the different, like, herbs and stuff. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, we're actually going to talk a little bit about magic. And, like, that's when it starts becoming really... the most interesting from that point on. It's not that I'm not trying to trash it. I just, I feel like I had to read it like fiction.
Yeah.
Like, I like this book, and again, I want so many more witches to write books like it, but I have a hard time getting on the podcast and being like, yes, these are all serious, legitimate things that happened, and therefore Sibelik is telling us about them. And if they are legitimate, serious things that happened, I'm fucking jealous of them.
I mean, I don't think it's so crazy to meet a bunch of different people. I think it's all situational. I mean, I grew up in Manhattan, yeah. So did I meet a lot of quote-unquote celebrities? Yeah. Shit just happens. They didn't happen when I was a kid. It happened throughout my entire life. Like, everything seemed to happen to her when she was very young.
But you're right. Like, when you write a diary, when you're writing a memoir, you're writing the best version of yourself.
Yeah, of course.
So why would she tell us a bunch of stories that are boring and lame? She's going to pick the coolest, best stories.
Right. I do like the fact that she does talk about things that make sense. So, you know, she talks about the Sabbats, the original four. And she also talks about, she explains, why do witches work at night? Because it's quieter and it's calmer.
Yeah.
Right? And being able to be calm and everything is going to just help the person doing the spell. And I thought, well, hell yeah, that just makes sense. So she wasn't so wacky, right? It wasn't like everything, you know.
Yes.
Some things just really just made sense. Like, you look at it and you go, oh, yeah. Oh, she was also married at 16 to her piano teacher, a man who was 24 years older. But he died when she was 18. So there's that. I was like.
And grandma warned her. Grandma was like, yeah, you're going to like, you'll have a short time. You can always come home. That's something that I guess I'm not jealous of. Like, I feel like I would have a very hard time if I was, like, out here constantly predicting people dying or, like, the future in general. Like, I don't... It's really cool to read how her life goes and you don't feel like she's hampered by it. Like, it's not that she doesn't struggle or have hard times or anything, but it's... She has that skill. And.
Okay, there's something that happened in the book, or that they talked about in the book, and I want to know if you'd be willing to do this as a science thing. So, a drop of urine on a big, coarse dandelion leaf.
I also wanted to do that as a science thing.
Yeah, like, just so you just have to get one and pee on it when you know you're not pregnant. And then once you've confirmed a pregnancy, I need you to pee on the leaf and tell me if red blisters form on the leaves. So anybody out there who is thinking about getting pregnant or you are pregnant and you want to do this and let us know, please let us know if it's only a drop. So you're not peeing on the whole leaf. It's just a drop on a big, coarse dandelion leaf. And you have to see if red blisters form. So,
and like I was about to say herbology, this botany stuff, this herbal medicine, these are real things that people really did.
Yeah,
I didn't know about that one before the book, but like these are real things that people historically did. So why wouldn't there be a historical way? And that's really what the problem is the old guard isn't wrong, right? When they're talking about like the old religion and all of that, they're not wrong. Like, yes, they are. There isn't like a witch cult. We've talked about it with Margaret Murray. But there were tools and ways and magics that people could use to do the stuff that science does now. And when you look back, I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but you can look back at like old grimoires from England, and one of them had this weird concoction of like eggshells and a copper penny and spit and all that. And when you actually make that, it's an antibacterial salve. The actual properties of all of that weird shit actually fights bacteria. So, yeah, like, the old guard isn't lying when they say, oh, well, maybe I had witchcraft in my family. It's just, we probably wouldn't have called it, we don't call it witchcraft now. The stuff that they're like, oh, that's witchcraft, we're like, that's just herbal medicine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, Gardner was smart in that respect, where that he took a lot of these old practices and then he combined it with some mythology and a bit of, he created something that really, if you take it apart, was already existing. And I think that's what made it so easy for people to say, well, yeah, of course, this is Wicca. Yeah, I guess I'm Wiccan, because it's just, it's easy to identify with it. It was smart. So, you know, she talks about psychic healing in the New Forest, social affairs and general welfare of the community is something that they were interested in. She talks about witch hunts.
Yes, which I loved the scene where she describes, like, her husband and her one son are, like, trying to sneak her out of the house to, like, I think do a Sabbat ritual. But everybody's watching her because they're doing this documentary, which I need to find. If there is an actual documentary about Sibylle, we have to watch it. But, like, the paparazzi are following her. There's these German psychologists who are talking shit about her. And so they have to, like, basically put a mannequin in front of the window and then move it around a little bit, and she's like snuck out of the house by car, but then she has to walk to the Sabbath. Like, that's so funny and such a good scene. And she writes it in such a way where it's just like, yeah, she'll be like having a cup of tea. Oh yeah, and then, you know, my son, and they moved the thing. It's great. It was great. I loved reading this book.
I want to, like, talk to somebody who's older who can tell me if they remembered her. Like, I'm talking about people in the U.S. Because supposedly she was a big deal and she was in newspapers and stuff. So I just want to know, like, does anybody remember the sensation that it was? Was she as much of a sensation as she's saying that she was?
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Now, even though supposedly she was, you know, courted by the media, she said she never gave away any of the coven secrets. So that's nice.
She shouldn't. Oh, she talks about at the beginning of the book how, when a witch dies, she gives her stuff to, like, another witch, or she destroys it. And I was like, timeline-wise, she knew Aleister Crowley, so she probably knew Gardner. So was that a thing she learned from her grandmother, or is that a thing that she got from them? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I also think it's just common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's not even, okay, so not only do I not want my witch stuff getting in somebody's weird paws, right, get their paws on it, like, you know, I want to be able to decide who gets my stuff, but, like, even things like now I think about, like, social media and stuff, like, I mean, I hope that I live a long time, but I wouldn't want that going on. I've known people that have passed away, and then people will comment because nobody's deleted the social media, and people are on there like, happy birthday, we miss you, it's been 5 years. It's like, oh, ew, I don't want that for me. Like, once I'm gone, I'm gone. You know, I also think about photographs. Like, when I go, like, vintage shopping, and I'll see photographs, and I know people who buy photographs that are, like, these old photographs, and they put them in the house. And I'm like, that was somebody, like, unless they're my family, I don't want some. I just feel it's sad. Like, this was a person and now they're in a store. I don't ever want to be in a store.
And you know what's so funny? Because for me, it's sort of like the opposite. It's like, I want my journals to be in some historian's lap somewhere, like, trying to piece together how the 2000s were. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would, I, and this is a thing that I have actually thought a lot about since I was young. I love the idea of, like, handwritten journals being found by somebody, and, like, that's how they learn about your life.
So what you're telling me is at the end of my Book of Shadows, I should just put some really weird random shit in there and have people of the future think, like, how the fuck did this witch do that? And just be like, I guess you still can't. That's a you problem. Because I was doing it back in 2024. Done.
100%.
That's what I'm doing my weekends now. I'm going to be adding weird shit to the end of my Book of Shadows.
Yeah. Put, like, pages, like, Charmed, where it's like, oh yeah, I talked to this demon and this is how I summon that. Like, just shenanigans in there.
I'm doing it.
But, like, I don't know. I think that sounds, it feels really cool to me. And that's another reason why I love this fucking book. Is I just want people, okay, you know what? We have to unpack at a later point in time.
What?
I should not be mad at Sibylle for writing her life like it's cool, because why wouldn't you write your life like it's cool? And I need everybody to write their lives like it's cool. So
I think everybody's life is cool. Like, I think her life is cool. I think people don't, you're living your life. So you don't ever reflect. So you don't think it's cool. Right. But if you were to reflect, and it happens to me whenever somebody says something and I tell a story and I see their reaction and I go, well, that was cool, huh? Like, that was kind of cool, you know? But when you just live your life, you're not thinking that anything you do is cool. You're just living it. You're just doing what you like.
Yeah.
So I think that her life is cool, but I think people have to really think about it. And, you know, if you're really young, because my students ask me all the time, like, how do you know this? How do you know that? And I'm like, because I'm old. Like, it has nothing to do. No,
girl,
it's true. It's like, I tell them, you're going to know this stuff and more. Like, you're not dumb. You're just young. Like, give yourself time to do the cool thing or learn something that's really cool. Like, just give yourself time, you know?
I do have to ask you about a quote that I don't think you're going to like.
Okay.
The original ideas I had about New York being a civilized, sophisticated place comparable to the capitals of the world was rapidly being dispelled. I had visited every other major city in the world, and my adherence to witchcraft had never been a secret, but I had never been subjected to such bombardment in all my life. I did not find it so much flattering as utterly disturbing. How do you like her depiction of New York City?
Well, considering that, what year was this? Like, it wasn't any year that I was... if it's
true,
was I one, alive? Two, was I even speaking? Depending on what year she came, I don't remember when she came to New York. I'm looking at my notes.
I don't remember what year either.
But
I will turn the pages.
But I will say this: I remember New York City of my youth, and it was pretty gross. New York City had a lot of pockets that were utterly disturbing, with Broadway being one of them. You know, my mom used to take me to Broadway shows and musicals when I was a kid, like real young. And it was horrifying walking down those streets. Horrifying as a child. There were so many porn theaters and what people that looked like they were, you know, addicted to something. And this is Broadway. This is where you're supposed to bring your family. And, you know, we'd zoom in and out. It's not like we took these long walks, but it was truly disturbing. And I still remember, you know, when I was in, like, college and stuff, there were areas of New York that, quite frankly, I used to love taking cabs through them because I used to love to see stuff. I was just, I don't know, I went through a whole William Burroughs phase. That's just on me. I liked, you know, like going into the abandoned buildings. There are no abandoned buildings in the Lower East Side anymore, but I used to love those spots. So when she says that about New York, I have no comment because, one, it's also different if you come here. You might have a totally different, you know, view of New York that I'm going to ever have of New York. And then it's about a time period that I don't even know if I was alive. So I don't know what she saw. So I'm not going to say she's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, she thought Boston was better, in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, which is, I can't say that I didn't agree with her. When I visited. But it is funny that she's like, oh, yeah, Emerson and Thoreau left behind their transcendental thought. Like, yeah, girl, I see it in your work. Yes, I see that you saw them.
And then she talks about her first love, astrology.
Which it's good. It's good shit. Astrology should be everybody's first love. You all need to go fall in love with astrology.
Well, she says witchcraft is her religion, but astrology is one of the professions that came easily to her.
I think about it all the time. Like, every once in a while I sit down and I'm like, I should just read charts professionally. And then I remember how much work goes into doing that. And I'm like, no. So, more power to Sybil, because the idea that you can do it professionally is like, that's a lot of work. That's a lot. Like, yeah, I love it. I love chatting about it. But to do it as a job, that's intense. And it's so much math. Right? Like, nowadays you can get a computer to do it. She was doing math.
Well, look. I can see you doing something like that if you weren't working. If you didn't have a job and baby bath. Yeah. I could see you saying, like, yeah, I could dedicate my time to this. I think you would actually enjoy it. So that could be like a retirement thing.
Like a retirement job. Yeah. Love a retirement job.
Yeah.
As demonstrated by spring break, I cannot not have a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
She talks about her primary interest in astrology being its medical aspects. And that is something that I really love, because I feel like a lot of people don't talk about it, especially now, like 2024, we're the modern era. We're doing like pop astrology. We're looking at like our sun signs, but there is a lot. And there's a couple of books that I actually personally want to get about medical astrology to look at, like, okay, what does your chart have to say about like your humors, right? Like, where might you need to be concerned in the future? Where might you need to not be concerned? What are, you know, are there foods you should eat or shouldn't eat? And obviously I'm not saying that you should like plan your life around astrology or whatever, but it's nice to have that kind of context in the back of your mind to be able to be like, oh, can I predict things? Or could I just be more aware of certain things?
So then she talks about reincarnation.
Yes.
And her quote is, well, the quote that I picked out is, reincarnation is nothing more than the law of evolution applied to the consciousness of the individual.
Yeah, which is an interesting quote, because that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what that means.
It's funny that you say that, because I think I probably wiped it out of my mind because I'm trying to remember like what it's in the context of, but like, yeah, that, and that's, I mean, we've talked about my personal views on
right
reincarnation and like ecological reincarnation. And I think that ecology makes sense, but like the way evolution works is adapting to a need in the environment. So unless the premise is, well, okay, I guess the premise is then that our consciousness, okay, actually, Sybil, our consciousness is quote unquote higher, I guess, than like a snail or a bacteria. But like snails and bacteria would have evolved first, so they would have been on Earth longer. So consciousness does evolve with a specific type of brain that is adapted to a specific type of environment. So like, if the consciousness is coming back, that could work. Kind of.
No, you've completely lost me now.
It feels like square peg, round hole kind of energy, but basically I think, I'm going to try to say this clearly. I think the premise is that if you assume that spirit exists, mm-hmm. and that a fundamental assumption here is that no new spirit is created, that there is like a pool of spirit and that spirit exists, as evolution occurs, spirit thus would have to evolve with the physical form.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't personally think that there is only one. I don't think there's like a pool of spirit that exists and that there's no more or less spirit could be. I don't know. It doesn't make sense, but I feel like I could make it make sense. But I also feel like I need like a whiteboard. And to do that, like, you know that meme with the lady with all the mathematical symbols?
Yep.
That's how I feel about that sentence.
So I feel that at some point, do you have a whiteboard in your house?
Yeah.
So at some point, I'm coming over and I'm just going to sit down. I'm not even going to speak to you. And I'm just going to say, the one thing I will say to you is, remember that whole thing about consciousness? Could you like write it up? And then I'm going to stop speaking and I'm just going to record you. And then at some point, I'll let you know beforehand so you can get like dolled up. But we're going to put that somewhere because people need to see
that.
Have
you guys seen the meme? I know everybody has the meme of Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Hunched up yeah. next to the like board with all the registering, because that's what I'm gonna look like. But yeah, could I make her sentence make sense? Yes. Do I agree with it? No. And I think that's why I am having trouble making it make sense. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're saying. I still want the whole whiteboard experience.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Yes, ma'am. So that's a thing. Not a problem.
So, you know, she said something that a lot of people have said. Christianity and Christian religions did have it as part of their dogma until 533 AD. And then it was taken out for the obvious yes. reasons, right? Controlling the population. She talks about prophets, flower children, and fortune tellers. And I thought that was yes. a great title, because to put fortune teller as a name, I almost felt was kind of disrespectful. I mean, I don't know of witches who use that term. They're like, oh yeah, I'm a fortune yeah. teller. It's like, no, I do readings. So I thought that was kind of odd. So she talks about God a lot.
But also, I think that that kind of is the point. Right, because it's, I feel like she's a little sassy.
Oh, she's very sassy.
This Miss Sybil, I guess she's a little sassy, because I think that, like, prophets, flower children, and fortune tellers is also sort of like, hey guys, come on now. You know, like, she's not, like, outright being bitchy, but she's sort of like, New York made me sad, and LA doesn't make me sad, but it's just tormented, and like, it's a little, she's a little bit like, okay, yeah, prophets, flower children, and fortune tellers.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that the last thing she talks about, the last chapter, is titled Being a Witch Isn't All Fun. One, because, like, yeah, girl, your life has been absolutely baller. Like, thank you for bringing us back down to earth at the end. But also, yeah, it's not. It's tough.
I actually wrote in my notebook the title of it, and I wrote, Ain't That the Truth?
Ain't that the truth?
So one thing in that chapter that I really liked is she said, I have to teach my students that witchcraft is not a substitute for human endeavor. And I feel that a lot of people struggle with that, right? If I do magic, then that's it, right? Like, I don't need to actually put in the work, because the work is the magic.
Yes.
And it's like, no, you still have to do the work. Like, I don't care if I give you a spell so you can meet someone. If you don't actually leave your house and mm-hmm. find an appropriate place to go, because if I do a spell for you to meet somebody, but you're just going to the clubs, are you really going to meet somebody that you want to spend the rest of your life with? You might, but maybe you look for things.
But are you?
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe you need to look at things that you're interested in and start going to those things, take classes, do something.
The thing that really stood out for me at this in this end chapter, and I think I felt about this the same way you feel about yours. She says, I've discovered that the thrill I felt as a child of being born into an unusual family has now given way to a much deeper meaning. And I think it's also one of the reasons why, like, her childhood part was so much more impactful for me. Because I think a lot, when you talk about, like, yeah, we're witches who are coming in and maybe not doing the work, a lot of people are coming into witchcraft from somewhere else. They don't have the benefit of a cool grandmother who teaches them, like, all the fun witchcraft and all that shit. And so there's this undercurrent of maybe even, like, disbelief. And I think that that holds people back from both being able to do the work and from being damn good witches. So it's almost like a little, it's like, Sybil didn't mean this, but when I read that, I realize, yeah, she got to have all of these cool experiences. She gets to be the cool psychic witch that everybody was obsessed with because she was set up to succeed from childhood. And some of us, maybe instead of doing witchcraft, should, like, go to therapy and be like, hey, how does my relationship with Christianity or my relationship with my parents or whatever, how is that an undercurrent in the choices that I make? Because especially when we talk about Christianity, I think there are a lot of women especially who are held back by guilt and shame about things that aren't real, right? Like, if you're not believing in Christianity, they're not real. And so can you be the best witch if you're holding yourself to a standard of another religion that you supposedly don't believe in?
Yeah. But I think she also had something else going for her. She didn't have the internet. She didn't have 50,000 yeah. books on witchcraft and how to be a witch. Yeah. She didn't have people on social media saying, well, this is how you're a witch. And if you're not doing it yeah. like this. So maybe part of the reason why she comes off is, why are you talking about your life like this? Because nobody's told her she shouldn't. And she's really yeah. being an authentic witch. She really is, whatever she says, however she says her life went, it's 100% authentic, because she's not worried about being judged, because who's going to judge her?
Yeah. She's Sybil fucking Leek.
But I mean, seriously, if there's one thing the old guard had, was freedom.
Yeah.
Right? The freedom to say, this is what witchcraft is. No, it isn't. Who are you? You know, like, who's going to tell you no? So yeah. I think that's the other reason why I think this is such a great book to read. Because even if you think she's kooky, even if you think that, really, lady, everything happened to you.
Yes.
But you know what? It totally could have. And maybe you're right. Not everybody had the background that she had as far as her childhood. But no matter where your background was from, it led you to here.
Yeah.
To whatever witchcraft you're practicing now. So it all influenced it. Why can't we just talk about our lives the way she does? Because someone on, you know, TikTok is going to tell me I'm doing it wrong. Why do you have to go on TikTok?
You should all just delete TikTok. Yeah, agreed.
I mean, I don't post anything on TikTok. I barely post on any of my social medias now because, you know what? I kind of just want to live my life. And if I do put something on social media, it literally is like a journal. Like, I don't want to forget this outfit, this place I ate, this whatever. I do it for me. I don't do it looking to see that anyone's going to follow me. I don't really care.
That being said, if you are listening to us right now and you want Scorpio to write Diary of a Witch 2,
God.
Please reach out to us on Instagram at witchspaceco, or you can email us witchspaceco@gmail.com, because we all want to read it.
Okay, by the way, the witchspace Instagram is different. I'm talking about my personal Instagram. Like, obviously.
No, I know, but I'm trying to bully you.
I'm not writing this stupid. I swear to God. I should just.
I'm bullying you. Is that not clear?
I should put like the weirdest shit in the book.
You should.
I never met anybody like spiritually cool. I'm thinking. Like, did I meet anybody who was like. No.
Listen, don't ask me to remember any information right now.
Yeah, I haven't met anybody. Although I could say that I did. What year did Gerald Gardner die? I could start my book with.
Just pretend.
My parents were on vacation in England, and my mother was in this cab, and all of a sudden she into labor. And whose cottage did they stop in front of? It was Gerald Gardner's. And Gerald Gardner came out, and he helped to deliver
me. Delivered you?
Until the ambulance could get there. And he looked into my eyes and said to my mother, she is going to pick up where off.
Okay, so that's canon. That happened. We're manifesting. We're rewriting history. I love it for us. But yeah, bully Scorpio in the comments, in the DMs, because I think it'd be funny and I think you should write the book.
I have to look to see when he died, because I think that's kind of interesting. Because, okay, so here's a little something about me. So my father got drunk and joined the army. And then he was like,
stop.
I don't want to be in the army. But so they came for him because he had enlisted. So
when you enlist, they come for you.
Yeah. And my mother remembers this in the neighborhood. Like they were just barely talking. They weren't even going out. And she's like, these guys come and they pick up your dad and they, you know, took him away. So anyway, so he was writing to her from the army. And he was
basically jail.
He was shipped off to England. And he said to her, like, you come out here, we can get married, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I thought your father was so full of shit. He was like, he doesn't want to marry me. I'm not going to go out there or whatever. But he, honest to God, always wanted to live there. Like, he just found the people wonderful. I don't remember where he was stationed. Mm-hmm. It was not London. And he just loved it. And I said to my mother,
wow.
Oh, my God. So instead of, like, growing up listening to the Ramones, I would have, like, grown up going to punk clubs in England. I just thought that was kind of interesting, yeah. You know. If my mother had gone to England, when did Gerald Gardner die? I have no idea. Would he have been alive? Would he have been alive to, like, help?
It doesn't matter now. Just write it. Doesn't matter. It happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, this, who was famous? Who are famous people? When was I born? Don't answer any of those questions on the podcast.
I should know when you were born. But I can't.
I should know when I was born.
I can't do math. So I need to take out the calculator.
No, it's okay. I'm going to think of someone cool and famous and a witch, and I'm going to say that they were my godmother or something.
Laurie Cabot.
We're going to rewrite our history.
You could say Laurie Cabot.
Yeah, Laurie Cabot. Godmother. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. She came to the church and everything.
But again, we're not saying that Sybil Leek was lying. I don't think she was lying. I think this was just her life. It's just, if you read it, it is going to be a little Forrest Gumpy. You're going to be like, wow, who didn't she know and what didn't she do? But again, I'm going to say, if we stopped holding ourselves back, if we stopped thinking about what other people are going to say about us, I bet you we could write a book just like this, because it would be factual, because nobody told her she shouldn't think this way or act this way or be confident. That's the confidence of this woman throughout this entire book is admirable. So I think we could all write like Sybil Leek. We get in our own ways, right? We get in our own way because someone's going to say something, right? And like RuPaul always says, unless they're paying your bills, pay them bitches no mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I heard really good things about this season.
Really?
So I will be watching. Yeah, apparently it's shady as hell.
Really?
So I will be watching this season of RuPaul's. Yes.
Okay.
And on that note.
So, you know, to wrap this up, if you can get your hands on Diary of a Witch, maybe your local library has a copy. Maybe, you know, your favorite witch shop might even have a copy you could read in the store. You know, I got them online. What's really funny is that the book that I'm holding now originally was $1.25. I think, what year did this come out?
Goddamn.
And Diary of a Witch, I think, was even less than that. I mean, what? This is 1971. The book was $1.25.
Do you want to know how much this book cost?
How much?
75 cents.
75 cents. But I think...
For Diary of a Witch.
But you could definitely get these online if you really wanted to. You know, do I think you should spend an arm and a leg? No, it's a great bit of history. But, you know, unless you... If you really want it, I'm trying to think of what I spent for it. I want to say that I spent like maybe $40, but I got both of the books. You can get them for a deal. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, you do not have to spend a lot. I think that's pretty good for two books, even though they were originally so cheap. I really wanted them in my collection. I am somebody who just loves the history of witchcraft. So to me, this diary is the history. It was something I wanted to own, and they're tiny. So I know, I definitely recommend, if you can get your hands on anything Sybil Leek, she's worth looking at. Again, putting her in the context of 1968 and knowing that what makes her fabulous is that she did not have anybody else telling her, don't do that. So she was purely herself. And I think we should all be a little bit more like her.
Yeah. And on that note, we're not saying anything else because that was a perfect, perfect finale to this episode. Thank you so much to Scorpio for being a genius. Thank you to you guys, our listeners, for listening and giving us the opportunity to do this twice a month, every month, forever. Thank you to Conwyn Moore for our amazing intro and outro music. And remember, if you're following the moon,
you're following us.